Chapter 1. The Dead Don't Speak, Right? In a small town like Whiskey Creek, Georgia, where the statue of a local Confederate war hero still stands tall in the courthouse square, there's a strong sense of community for the living and the dead. The old wrought iron gates at Peaceful Valley Cemetery were open year-round for residents wishing to celebrate birthdays or holidays with family members who'd passed over to the other side. The Easter holiday had brought me here to visit my father and grandparents this early Saturday morning. Looking around, it seemed I had the place to myself, so I exchanged heels for flats and climbed out of my Mustang convertible. Armed with several fresh bouquets of Easter lilies, I picked my way through the gravestones until I stopped beneath a time-worn oak, its heavy branches dusted with shades of leafy green. "Good morning, my dears," I said, placing the bouquets on a stone bench beside their graves, and bent down to remove the wind-beaten silk flowers from the bronze vases. "The rest of the family will be stopping by later on, but I wanted some private time alone with you all." My father's parents had both taken the journey to their final reward when I was just a young child, but I remembered them well. Grandpa Tucker always smelled of sweet pipe tobacco, and Granny Tucker, well, I remembered her soft, comforting voice most of all. And then, 4 years later, when I was only 12, we lost Daddy. He was killed in a bank robbery attempt in Atlanta while on a business trip. One moment he was standing in line to cash a check, and the next gone forever. The thing I remembered the most about that time was Mama's strange behavior. She refused to talk about the shooting with me and my two younger sisters, Dina and Billy Joe. And because of that, deep down inside, I've always felt as if there were some dark secrets surrounding his death. Daddy used to say that secrets were like candy. At first, they're sweet on the tongue and bring such pleasure, but then with time, the decay sets in, and you find yourself wishing you'd left that bonbon alone. I brushed away my depressing thoughts and finished arranging the lilies in the vases. Once finished, I sat down on the bench to enjoy the beauty of the warm morning before I had to rush off to work. Hopefully, the chocolate-covered donuts I'd picked up early from the bakery would be okay for a little longer in the front seat of my car. I didn't want them to melt before the staff meeting at the salon, but I wasn't ready to leave yet. I closed my eyes as birds sung overhead and took a deep, relaxing breath, wishing I could hear Daddy's voice once again.
"Jolene, honey, open your eyes."
My eyes popped open at Granny Tucker's voice. Startled, I studied my surroundings, but no one lingered nearby. Feeling a little silly, I stood up from the bench and went to stand over her grave. Okay, that was weird. Again, I cast a quick glance over my shoulder. A family had congregated nearby, and I could just make out a couple of words as they placed flowers on the grave, so it must have been them I'd heard and not the voice of my long-dead grandmother. Which made perfect sense. According to Pastor Inman, over at the First Baptist Church, once we'd left behind our fleshly homes, we weren't allowed to cross back over into the land of the living. The dead can't speak, only the living, right? Briefly, our long-buried memory of another disembodied voice from my childhood flashed into my consciousness and then fled as quickly as it had surfaced. Now completely weirded out, I said a hasty goodbye, put the discarded silk flowers in my trunk, exchanged shoes a second time, and headed for the salon. On Main Street, I passed a cluster of shops where tourists and local residents strolled down the tree-shaded, rustic brick sidewalks, peering into storefront windows or entering the establishments in search of the best sales. Further down, restored Victorian homes offered respite from the heat with broad covered porches filled with decorative wicker furniture. Tall ancient magnolias branched out like centuries, and beneath their leafy canopies, bright swaths of azaleas, hydrangeas, camellias, and roses dotted the well-manicured lawns.